This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala, amma ba'd. So before we begin the khatira, just a brief reminder that today is in fact the 10th fast has finished, which means basically one third of the month has gone. And subhanAllah, in the twinkling of an eye, quite literally it's as if Ramadan began yesterday, and we've already finished one third of the month. And so we now have the middle third to get our spirits in order so that we can get into the final, which is of course inshallah the most important, the final 10 days of the month of Ramadan. So just a reminder, and remember we talked about in the beginning how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ramadan as ayyaman ma'dudat, ayyaman ma'dudat. And ayyaman ma'dudat, it is actually used to talk about a number between 3 and 9, ayyaman ma'dudat. You wouldn't use it for 30. You wouldn't use ayyaman ma'dudat because in Arabic you have different types of jama'. And you have jama'as that are 1, 2, 3, 3 to 9, and then more than 9. And the phrasing ayyaman ma'dudat is used for 3 to 9, even though the month is 30, as we know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes how quickly the month goes by. And so we are already finishing our 10th fast. This is the 11th taraweeh that we're praying right now. Today the verse I wanted to comment on is one of the most famous verses in the Quran. We have all heard this verse so many times. And this is the famous verse, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul has been decreed death. Right before this, Allah mentions a very powerful verse. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Allah tells us, He informs us, we have not made any human before you with eternal life. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. We have not given khuld, you know, khalidina fiha khuld. Khuld means forever. We haven't given any human being eternal life. Nobody. And Allah says, afa immitta fahumul khalidun. This is one of the most amazing verses in the Quran for me, that Allah speaks directly to the Prophet ﷺ, but we are the addressees. And Allah says, if you are going to die, ya Rasulullah, afa immitta in the singular. He is addressing the Prophet ﷺ directly. Allah is addressing the Prophet ﷺ directly. If you are going to die, afa immitta fahumul khalidun, do they think that they will live forever? What a beautiful verse here. If anybody were to have been given eternal life, who would it be? If any one person would have been chosen to live forever in this world, who would it be? It would be our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says this explicitly. If you have not been given eternal life, are they so deluded? There's a satirical point here. If you are going to die, ya Rasulullah, do they think they're going to live? Afa immitta fahumul khalidun. Then Allah says, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single soul shall taste death. And then Allah gives a beautiful reminder of the purpose of life. وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And we shall test you with evil and with good as a fitna, and you shall return unto us. What does this phrase mean? We shall test you with evil and we shall test you with good. This is a very interesting point, and I need you to pay attention because it's a little bit complicated. In the Quran, Allah mentions the blessings of this world, life, wealth, children, sometimes as a gift to the righteous, and sometimes as a punishment to the evil. I repeat, in the Quran, Allah mentions money and health and wealth and rain and vegetation, sometimes in the context of a gift. For example, Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا, that if the people of the villages believe, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, we would have opened up the doors of the heavens and they would have benefited. In another verse, Allah mentions, if they believe, لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ, they would have eaten from everything. In Surah Nuh, Allah mentions Nuh telling his people, believe in Allah, turn to Allah, seek Allah's blessings and forgiveness. What's going to happen? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send the rain. He will bring up vegetation. He will give you money. He will give you children. He will give you life and health. So in all of these and other verses, Allah mentions life, health, wealth, children, all of these as gifts to the righteous. Correct? Now, we also learn in other verses that sometimes Allah gives these same things to the people who have rejected Him, disbelieved in Him, as a further curse for them, as a means of deluding them. For example, Allah says that the general rule is that when Allah has decided to destroy a village or whatnot, that Allah opens up the doors of all good. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. When they become deluded in all they have been given, they become obsessed with all they have been given, we will take them suddenly and cause them to be destroyed. So in this verse, Allah says, I'm going to give them more of this world so that they become deluded in that world and then they'll be destroyed. So we have here this world as a blessing and this world as a curse. The same applies to being deprived. The same applies to problems. Sometimes problems are mentioned in the Quran as a test for the righteous to raise their ranks. And sometimes problems are mentioned because of our sins. So, as a test for the righteous, in the same surah, we learn about the story of Ayyub. Right now, surah Al-Anbiya we're doing. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And look at Ayyub, when he called out to his Lord and he said, Oh my Lord, calamity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of all who have mercy. So his calamity, as we all know, we learn from the hadith does not mention this, we learn it from the Judeo-Christian sources, and there's no harm in taking them as long as we say that they're from those sources. We learn that Ayyub was a very rich man. Ayyub alayhi salam was a very rich man. And he had thousands of flocks. He had a dozen children. He had lots of vegetation. And one after another, a fire came and destroyed all of the vegetation. Thieves came, they stole all of the flock. And one day his children were sitting in a house and the whole house collapsed and every one of his children died basically overnight. So in a period of a week, Ayyub alayhi salam went from being who he was to being deprived of all of that wealth. On top of that, Allah Azza wa Jal inflicted his skin with a type of calamity or ailment that whoever looked at him would want to turn away and go away. And so he had lost his friends as well. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, all of it is gone. And he made dua to Allah. Some say up to a dozen years, 12 years. Others say 18 years he remained in that state. Never once complaining to Allah. Never once saying anything bad. Never once basically getting the pity of the people. And he made dua to Allah constantly. And he said, Rabbi inni masani al-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh my Lord, calamity has touched me. Masani al-durr. And you are the most merciful. So Allah says, فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ. We removed the calamity that he had. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. And we gave him his family and double the amount back. So Ayyub got more than 20 children. And Ayyub's wealth became multiplied much more. So in this we learn Ayyub was deprived in order to be raised. Right? We also learn in the Quran that مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. No calamity comes to you except because of your own sins. So, I want you to understand. Good of this world is sometimes mentioned as a gift and sometimes as a curse. Calamities of this world are sometimes mentioned as a gift to raise your ranks, like Ayyub. And they're sometimes mentioned as a punishment for your own sins. So what then, how do we understand this? And that's the point of today's khatira. Very simple. Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We are going to test you with good and with evil. بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ. Shar is evil, khayr is good. Fitna. What does fitna mean? Fitna is a trial, fitna is a test. So good will be a test and calamities will be a test. In other words, this is the rule. Anything that happens to you in and of itself is neither positive nor negative. It depends on your own reaction. You can convert this with the help of Allah into a positive. Or the same thing that has happened to you can become a negative. Whether it is a blessing or whether it is a pain and calamity, the end result could be for your benefit depending on how you react. How does one react? Ibn al-Qayyim was asked this question. Ibn al-Qayyim, the famous scholar, was asked, how do we know if a blessing that we have of wealth or money or children, how do we know if this is a gift from Allah because of a righteousness? Because Allah mentions this. Or is it something to delude us and it is a means of basically making us busy and we don't think about the akhirah? How do we know? Ibn al-Qayyim said, if that ni'mah, if that blessing draws you closer to Allah, then It is a gift for righteousness. And if that blessing blinds you to the worship of Allah, it dissuades you, it distracts you, then that gift is a curse. So classic example, money. Money. Money in and of itself inherently is neither evil nor good. It could be evil and it could be good. Money could be evil if money distracts us from the worship of Allah. If money causes us to forget about salah, to forget about ibadah, to forget about zakah. If our whole lives become obsessed with earning more and more and more, and we don't care about where we get money and where we spend it on, then that money is a curse. There is no benefit to us in it. But the one who uses his money, he's conscious of earning halal. And he will turn down deals because they're haram. He will turn something and say, no, I can't get that money. Allah will not bless me in that money. And when he gets money, he's thinking, you know, where can I spend this money on? Which good can I do? How many orphans can I sponsor? Let me ask around, is there somebody in the community I can secretly give them money so that only Allah knows? That money becomes of the best blessings that Allah could give you. Our Prophet ﷺ said, نِعْمَ الْمَالُ صَالِحْ لِلرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ. How beautiful is pure money for a good Muslim. How beautiful is pure money for a good man. If you're a good man and you have good pure money, what a great combination. Spend for the sake of Allah. The Ummah needs Uthman ibn Affan's. The Ummah needs people that will finance things. Alhamdulillah. So the same thing with children, with health, with wealth, with everything of this world. If you use it to come closer to Allah, then take some solace and comfort. InshaAllah, this is a gift from Allah. And Allah gave it to you so that you can enjoy and you can use for His sake. But if this world becomes a distraction, and you are more concerned with the money, with the children, with your life, than you are with the akhirah and drawing close to Allah, then be warned that that very blessing could become a curse. And the same goes for a calamity. The same goes for a calamity. It is true that every calamity that happens to us is because of what we have done. مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِمُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. This is true. But it is not necessarily an evil. For some amongst us, Allah wants to use that calamity to cleanse us in this world, so that when we approach Him on the Day of Judgment, we will be completely clean. And Allah wants to use that calamity to see our patience so that our ranks can be raised. Our Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. When Allah loves a group of people, He will test them with difficulties. And that's what we see in Ayyub. Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبِ. Look at our servant Ayyub. We tested him. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. What a great servant he was. Why? إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. We found him to be a patient man. So when Ayyub was patient, he leaves such a legacy that Allah mentions him in the Quran as a role model. Till the rest of humanity finishes, the name of Ayyub will be amongst us. Why? What did he do? When Allah tested him, he demonstrated iman, faithfulness, and patience. So how do we know if a calamity is a curse and punishment, or a calamity is meant to raise our ranks? Once again, it is in our response. Two people can have the same calamity. Both lose their jobs. Both are in an accident. Both suffer a tragedy. For the one of them, that same calamity is a punishment, and the next world is going to be worse. And for the other, that same calamity is a means of cleansing his sins, and he shall be raised up. What is the difference? The reaction. The reaction. The one who uses a calamity to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions, by the way, that of the reasons we are tested and tried is so that we make dua to Allah. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Why didn't they beg me and plead to me and make dua to me when our punishment came? Why didn't they turn to me? But they didn't do that, and their hearts became hard, and so they were misguided. So when a calamity befalls us, what is our reaction? Does it draw us closer to Allah? Do we make dua to Allah? Do we pray to Allah? Do we become better people? Do we blame ourselves? That's what we should do. That, you know what, this is my fault. Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing me for a sin I have committed. I ask Allah to forgive that sin and to make me better. Like Adam, we talked about him a few days ago, his mistake of Jannah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Or the other case, astaghfirullah, which is the Iblis case, you blame Allah. Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. And this is the essence of kufr. To challenge Allah and the wisdom of Allah. Who are you to challenge Allah's wisdom? Who do you think you are to challenge Allah and say, I don't deserve this? And that is what Iblis himself said. When the story of the genesis of the fall happened, Iblis says to Allah, Oh Allah, you're the one who misguided me. Rabbi bima aghwaytani. It's not my fault. You're the one who misled me. And Adam said, Oh my Lord, I have made a mistake. And this difference is the difference between iman and kufr. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, this life is a life of tests and trials. But tests and trials doesn't just mean pain and suffering and calamities. My health is a test for me. Your wealth is a test for you. My children, your children are a test for all of us. Every blessing is a test. And every calamity is a test. And this is exactly what Allah says. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And one final point. Allah mentions the exact same thing in the first verse of Surah Tabarak. The exact same thing. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That's the whole point of life. We're going to test you with good. We're going to test you with calamities. We're going to see if you pass the test. And in the end, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. All of us will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we'll resume our tafsir tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.